Great. Well, why don't we go ahead and get started? Do you, Melissa, did you know Stephanie's planning on calling in, right?
Yes, sir.
Has joined the conference.
Yeah, she's going to call in.
Okay.
Hey, Griff, this is Dan. I just joined.
Hi, Dan. Thanks. So, those of you on the phone, thanks for calling in. There is going to be a couple presentations that we're going to do through the webinar. So if you haven't already, go ahead and log into that so you can see what we're looking at here in the room. And so we'll go ahead, we'll go around the room. This is Dave Griffith. I'm a fish biologist for the Corps and chair of the Fish Passage Team.
Ian Shane, program manager, Willamette Biop.
I'm Marie Phillips, hydraulic design, Corps.
Jeff Ammett, project manager of the Corps.
Fenton Conn, Corps of Engineers.
Scott Fielding, Corps.
Jim Adams, project manager, Corps.
Hydraulic design
core. Did you guys hear all those names okay?
Yep.
Okay, and on the phone?
Julie Dumbia, BPA.
Dan Spear, BPA.
Melissa Johnson, NIMS.
Elise Kelly, ODFW.
Great, thanks guys. So, today, just to go over the agenda quickly, we only have two main agenda items. We're going to have a brief discussion on Middle Fork temp control and downstream passage, and then a presentation by the Detroit PDT as well. And then before we get into the updates, and then you had something too, Ian, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind discussing something I brought up at steering team regarding the Foster downstream passage PDT.
Okay, so let's do that after the notes. And then before the updates.
Sounds great. 7:09:30.
So, notes. So I'm just going to review the action items, and these are the September notes because you guys might recall we did not have an in-person October meeting. So, the first action item is pretty much getting taken care of today, right? With the
Sean sent out this attachment the other day to an email on Detroit, and we're going to talk about it today. So, yeah, I think that'll be finally covered.
Okay. So we'll note this is completed.
Stephanie has joined the conference.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. Sorry.
That's okay. We're just reviewing the action items in the draft meeting notes from September.
Okay.
The second agenda item, mods for Minto and Foster. I believe I sent that out, but does anyone remember? I can review my emails.
Have joined the conference.
I don't recall.
Okay, let me check on that. Okay, the third agenda item, Fall Creek Adult Fish Facility. Stephanie, can you help me on this one? Are you guys still reviewing what Lenhart and Christine Leitner, Chris Leitner were working on?
We sent comments on that a long time ago.
Okay, so this one's completed then, or is there any further action?
I don't think so. It was a different EA that came out, but we sent comments on.
This is Natalie. Has joined the conference.
Hi, Natalie. Good timing. We were just.
Hi. Is the web meeting on or not? Maybe I had the wrong number for the web meeting.
Don't put in the dashes.
Oh, that's what my struggle is. Okay.
For the meeting number? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So just put in the numbers, no dashes. So Natalie, quick question for you. We're reviewing the September action items. And did you receive the comments from NIMS on Fall Creek? This is regarding the slopes.
Oh, I know what she hasn't gotten are the 30% or something. There were some other plans and specs that...
Yeah, I don't think we got them yet. I think we were asked for some more time. David's been out sick. I don't know what has happened with that.
Okay. Well, there were two sets. Yeah. I'm trying to... Can we go back just a minute? Are we talking about the meeting notes from October 13th? They're dated... They're from the September 30th meeting?
Yes.
That was the last meeting?
Yeah. And they're up on the webinar, too.
Still working on that.
I'll check my email, see what I can find, Dave.
Okay.
But basically, I know that on the Jeff was out, and Jeff Brown, and he's getting comments, I don't know, by the end of this week or sometime soon on... I think it was the 30% for the second phase of the construction project. And then you guys also sent out 60 or 90% plans and specs on that first phase.
Correct.
And those comments aren't due until early December or something, I think.
So, Dave, when I bring up the webinar, it gives me a bunch of things to download and view. I don't think you need that. You don't have as attachments, right?
No.
Okay, great.
But if you have not logged into an AT&T webinar yet, you do have to download a plugin.
Oh. I have in the past.
Are you upstairs?
Yeah, I don't know where the meeting's at.
It's the first floor conference room.
Oh, okay. I'll be down. Thanks.
See you in a bit.
This is Natalie. Has left the conference.
So that now that Natalie's off the phone, I'll volunteer her to look into this action item.
That was slick.
Thank you, Natalie.
And I'll just have her check with you, Stephanie, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay, thanks, guys. And we'll thank Natalie when she gets here, yeah. 3.4, so I talked to Ed off and on, and he didn't really recall what he had for me, but there is a draft concept paper that's within our section that I need to finalize and have Rich send out to the RM&E team, looking into the temperature differences between the ladder entrance, the tail race, and the spillway there at Foster. So you guys will see that real soon. Sorry it's taken a while to get out. We're trying to complete some more urgent RM&E contracting matters right now. So for that one, I'll have a follow-on getting the concept paper out to you guys. Let me just catch up on my notes here. Okay, 3.5, high head bypass. So this was to clarify how different the high head is from criteria.
That table it wasn't in the 90% report, but we'll put it in our study plan, which will be coming out soon to the region for review.
Okay.
Also, thank you guys for comments on the 90%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 3.6. Another high head bypass. And
that was in the 90%.
This one is completed?
Yep.
Thank you. 3.7. I believe this one's complete, right, Stephanie? You got the info.
Can you make the font larger?
Yeah, sure.
Please.
Good idea.
Well, just
go over and zoom.
Very bottom.
On the bottom.
All right,
bottom.
All right. I'm going to do it my way. All right. Fine.
You hit the zoom button and it'll pop up with the.
Yeah.
Say when,
I got. I think you guys sent out that.
Is that good?
Yeah.
More detailed information that was presented.
For those of us in the back.
with aging eyes. Which one are you talking about, Stephanie?
Outplanting at Cougar.
Oh.
Isn't that the one he's on?
Yes.
So did everyone on Fish Passage Team get that? Because it was an email that bounced off of an email you started, right, Stephanie? I'll send it out with the notes for this meeting. How about that? Okay.
Is there a decision to be made there, or is that just a FYI?
That's just to get info out to folks.
Okay. Which number?
3.7. 3.7.
Repeat offenders? Probably have to go into the trap twice.
It's usually what we call the pinnipeds at Bonneville Dam.
Yeah.
Anyway. They're usually, you know, the spawning fish are usually good guys.
Yeah. That may be a Doug Garlitz-ism that got in there. 3.8, I know that the ops biologists are still working on this with ODFW. Andy Traylor's still working on that. So I'll see if he has a draft to share with the team yet.
Yeah, and I keep, you know, I did send another email, I think, to Greg, or to, well, either Greg or Doug, about the Fall Creek data. It just, they sent something to it. I think Doug sent me something with just this last year's data, but it seems like it shouldn't be that hard to have, you know, the historical information, or, you know, the last 10, 20 years data there, too.
Okay. I'll make sure that they get you that.
Well, I mean, I just want it, you know, we're talking about having things standardized, and we don't just want current year stuff, but also another spreadsheet that would have previous year's information available. And I actually, what Doug sent me was, here's the summary of how many fish we got.
Okay.
And not the table that we'd seen before, which was each day of trapping, how many fish they got of what type and where they went, that kind of information.
Yeah, I got you. I understand. So I'll,
I mean, we kind of need access to all of it, and it's nice. I mean, sometimes we get it in season, which is really good, but it's also really nice to have the final for each year.
And the other thing, too, that we've discussed internally is sort of what level of detail do you want all the species? And I think we do want to kind of defer to that, you know, building a long-term data set because, you know, if that info isn't included, it might disappear.
Right.
It's not
on the Fish Passage Center website?
No.
Because they keep all the Columbian snake. It's not on DART. It's not on Fish Passage Center.
No.
So who's keeping it?
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Core. ODFW's got some fish count stuff on, for some. On
has
their
joined
website.
The conference.
Maybe we could give that as a task to Fish Passage Center.
For the PowerPoint accounts.
No, we don't.
Just kidding. I'm kidding, Jeff. No, I agree. I think we need to consolidate this and have it all in one spot.
Who's that?
We said we need to consolidate all these data sets somewhere for the Willamette. That's accessible. That's easily accessible without having problems getting on the website.
Why were you winking at me when you said that, Jim? I don't understand. Yeah, we can look into that. I'll ask Ops kind of what the plan is, and maybe have it as an agenda item either for December or January. Because this is an issue that sort of spans both the hatchery team and the Fish Passage team too. So. Okay, let's just get through the last of the action items, and then we'll do another roll call since other people have joined us. Stephanie, I believe you got us your comments.
Comments on what?
The August.
Oh, we're on the next one.
Meeting minutes.
Well, it's hard from this version. Yeah, I don't know which there were several different comments. So what I was saying before was we are still waiting on Jeff to get us some comments on the latest, but there, I think at this time we were talking about the 30% draft or something.
This is for the August meeting minutes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we got your comments on the 30%, I think.
So that's complete?
There's another version.
3.9.
So we have a 30% on meeting minutes.
Action no, I don't think
3.9.
So.
3.9. Oh, you're at 3.9?
Yeah, sorry.
I got you comments on the August meeting minutes.
Thank you.
Did you accept them all?
I think so. If you go on the website, you should see the finalized meeting minutes.
Okay.
So this one's related to .3. So 3.10 is related to 3.2, and those will both be closed out here. I'll double check on that. And then 3.11, Fall Creek Drawdown. I think this one's going to carry over. I'll have to check with Greg. And last, I sent out the presentation with the draft notes, so that one's complete. Okay. Any other action item discussion before we do another roll call? Okay, so once again in the room, this is Dave Griffith. I'm the chair of the Fish Passage team for the Corps.
Sean Askelson, hydraulic design.
Karen Kuhn, hydraulic design.
Jim Adams, project management.
Scott Fielding, Corps.
Jim Ruff, Northwest Power and Conservation Council.
Fenton Kahn, Corps.
Jeff Hammett, Corps.
Marie Phillips, hydraulic design, Corps.
Natalie Richards, project manager.
Ian Chain, Corps.
And on the phone, please.
Stephanie Birchfield, NIMS.
Dan Spear, BPA. Sorry, Stephanie.
John Beeman, USPS.
Shane Scott, Public Power Council.
Melissa Johnson, NIMS.
Police Kelly, ODFW.
Okay, and Julia, right?
Julie. Dumbia.
She stepped away from her desk for a moment, but she'll be back.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys. So, moving on to PDT updates. Oh, sorry. Ian had a quick agenda item, and then he's got to run.
Yeah, just a quick one here. So I brought this up at the steering team meeting, which was, I'm looking at Jim, seems like it was months ago.
It was last week,
yes. So at the steering team meeting last week, I brought up one of the changes we're looking at for the Foster Downstream Passage, PDT. What we're going to be doing is refocusing that PDT to look at existing weir and operations. If you look at the RPA for that team that was working on under their charter, the RPA basically suggested if there was anything that was a larger scale fix other than just looking at minor fixes to the weir and operations, that the configurations and operations plan should be looking at that. And so what's going on right now is we've had the PDT working on the alternatives, but also the COP is looking at alternatives. We had a dual alternative assessment going on. So what I have advised Jim and the PDT to do is kind of pull back, look at the existing weir, look at operations pending the outcome of the COP. So once the COP does come out and it says specifically what actions should be looked at Foster for downstream passage, the PDT will take those on under the direction of the COP. So More to come on that once the implementation plan comes out, but just wanted to make sure that the region was aware that there was going to be a refocus of that team, at least temporarily, until the COP comes out. It just kind of keeps this PDT somewhat in line with the rest of the PDTs right now that are kind of awaiting for the COP results. I think most people are aware of the Cougar PDT has kind of been on hold at a 90% in the EDR since, I want to say, almost a year. A year and how long, Griff? I'm looking at
over
you.
2 years.
Over 2 years now. So just the idea is to keep this PDT kind of marching alongside with the COP, and that way we've got consistency with what we're putting out there, and that the alternatives that are going to be brought to the table, brought to the region, are going to be developed by the COP. But once that's done,
Ian, I'm sorry, I didn't. What was over 2 years? I didn't.
Oh, I was just making the statement that the Cougar PDT has been on hold, a 90% EDR, yeah, pending the results of COP implementation plan. So this team is going to be in the same sort of mindset. But then again, they still got work to do on existing WIR operations and, you know, how we operate in general. So they're not going to stop. They're not going to be slowing down. They're just going to be refocusing their effort at the existing conditions until the COP comes out. Any questions on that? All right. Well, thank you.
Do you want me to add anything about our design charrette?
Sure.
Yeah, we had planned to have a engineering-focused design charrette meeting. We scheduled it for the 18th to the 20th of November, and we had to postpone that due to lack of funding because we're in the CRA still, month-by-month budgeting. Ian was able to free up some dollars for December, and so we're looking into trying to reestablish a date to do the charrette in December. But there's a number of different people, and we're in the process of trying to find out if we can find a compatible 3 days to get everybody there. Given it's December, it might be quite a challenge to do. But we're trying to push through with that. If, perchance, that we're not able to get all the players together, we will target our reschedule the meeting into early January. So that's basically the status of that.
Oh, okay. I'm confused again. I'm sorry. It's just hard not being there. So this is a charrette for the Foster, you're saying?
Foster Downstream Fish Passage.
Okay.
And what we're going to
do. And who's going to be included in the charrette?
It's an internal engineering effort to provide more specific detail regarding weir structure and operations.
Okay. So this is following Ian's scaled down version of
Correct. What
you guys are looking at.
Correct.
Or focused on the weir.
Correct. And we're hoping out of this is we're going to get a more clear description of potential modifications to the weir structure and operations and combinations of measures with this new focus. And hopefully we'll present that as soon as we can to the region.
Okay. Are these kind of modifications that you can do, like, in the next year or two, or are they, like, something that would require a big...
That is yet to be determined. It could possibly happen that way if it's fairly simple, but mm-hmm. if it's more complicated, we still have to go through a detailed design report and then draft up plans and specs, so there's a time factor involved in all of that also.
Yeah, I my concern is I don't want you to spend a whole lot of effort doing detailed design and rebuilding the weir when, you know, that may not be the preferred
correct
solution.
Right. Agreed.
Go ahead.
Anything else for your PDT updates, Jim? You can just knock that one out.
That's basically it.
Okay.
So we're done. It's kind of interesting hearing Shane Scott's voice again. I haven't heard that voice in probably 5 years. How you doing, Shane? Remember me, Jim Adams?
He's on mute.
Oh, yeah, Jim, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Excellent. Good to hear from you.
Oh, you're not classified now.
Thanks, Jim. Okay, going back to the packet, we'll start sort of in order here. So, sorry, my computer logged me out. Just a sec.
The environmental assessment out for public review. Comments are due December 12th. We are in, as Stephanie and I chatted when I was upstairs, we're in the middle of two reviews, 30% on one and 90% on another. So, and then we're, and I think I just closed out some comments on one of them. So, anyway, so we're crazy busy trying to get the plans and specs done on the water supply. We, in order to try to facilitate the bidding process in April, we just went out today with our solicitation to contractors. So I didn't know exactly when, so I didn't put in the update. We just figured it all out yesterday. So we're going to possibly have a site visit either December 8th, 9th, 10th, or 11th. And what's dictating is the weather. We don't know when, but the, right now the reservoir is drawn down. We're trying to get it, it's at least last week it was at 680. We're hoping to see, you know, 720. That's the bottom of the bottom horn. Then the contractors can see that and they, then they'll know how they can bid that work, because once the reservoir comes up when we go out to bid in April, they won't be able to see it. So that's happening. And sometime in that time frame, we'll make the decision the first week of December with reservoir rank. So that's my update for Fall Creek. So are there any questions for me?
How low does it have to go?
720 to see the bottom of the bottom horn. And then, but the RO draws it down even further, yeah. 680, but we don't need it that far. But they're going to do it anyway for the fish. So
yeah.
We're just trying to piggyback on that drawdown work.
Yeah, and if you could check on the email chain for this, I believe it was the slopes approval.
I'll have to see. Yeah, I don't know where we're at with that. I haven't heard an update from Chris about that in several weeks.
Okay.
I don't know where we're at on that.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, thank you, Natalie.
Okay. Thanks.
Anything on the phone for Natalie before she leaves? Okay, Detroit, did you guys want to cover anything now or wait till your detailed discussion on the agenda?
The only thing we really have highlighted that we changed is right there in that page you just pulled up, and it's what we're going to cover here in a little bit, which is some design information we've got on the floating surface outlet, the standalone selective withdrawal structure. That was the information that was been on that meeting minutes list, whatever you called it, for quite a while. So
okay.
We have it out there now. We're going to review it here shortly.
That one was easy. Oops. I thought I put these in better order. Foster, Chris isn't here, so I don't have any more detail than what you guys see before you, that we're in the process of trying to get the follow-on work awarded. That and what I already shared about the concept paper. Any questions for Chris that I could convey? Okay, Highhead Bypass.
So on this one, if you scroll on down, the highlights.
Let me just minimize this. Oops.
Did he say something?
Griff was playing with the computer. So on the Highhead Bypass, we had the 90% EDR out for review. We got comments back from NIMS, and we're working on responding to those, and we'll send that out here real soon. Don't know exactly when, but should be soon. And meanwhile, we're working on our test plan for what we had discussed in that EDR that we're going to do, and that should be out for review in the late December, early January timeframe, I would suspect, in order to meet our schedule. In the meantime, engineering is working on design of those pipes for the water and the fish, and we had some inspections go on out at the dam for the pipes that were visible above water, and an ROV inspection of the one below water. Everything was what we anticipated it to be, and what I've heard back, you two can correct me, but the inside of the pipes, you look down inside the pipes, and they all look really good condition as well.
Which project?
This is a Green Peter Dam for the Highhead Bypass.
The old fish bypass and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're continuing to make progress there to get this to happen, as we said, in the June timeframe-ish, give or take, for this fish release test. Any questions on Highhead Bypass?
Okay.
So, do we have the study proposal?
No, I just was saying that we're going to have that.
I couldn't hear most of what you said, so I'm looking at the notes I sent in and said, did you send them out yet?
No, we're going to have that. It's also written there, late December, January timeframe. Is that test plan?
We're still working on the study design, Stephanie, and I'm hoping to get that out before the holidays or right after beginning of January. The study plan for FPPF fish passage review, then we're going to talk to the researchers.
Okay, because I had written down from the last meeting that you were going to send that out for review in October.
Yes, we're running behind, and we're waiting on the engineering design team to design the fish release pipe, so we don't want to put the cart before the horse. We want to make sure the design makes sense so that when we send you a packet, it has all that information in it.
Okay.
So yeah, and I would say right now, we are shooting to get it out before the holidays, but there's a good chance it could be early January. And that would be the study design that we're going to vet through the region. And then once we do that, and then we get a study proposal from the researchers, we're also going to vet that through the region.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on Highhead Bypass? Middle Fort?
So if you can scroll down to where you see some yellow on that one. So the 30% EDR is out for fish passage team review. Fenton sent that out a week or two ago, I forget exactly. And we're going to kind of walk through that. Sean's going to tell us what all is in there, kind of kick off that review for you. And so we won't go into much more detail there. But the one other thing I changed on this update was when we had our temperature meetings where everybody was together from all the agencies talking about the temperatures and what we should do in the Middle Fork with regard to Lookout Point, Hills Creek, all that, where do we put what. And what was discussed out of the last meeting of that was to do temperature control at Hills Creek, fish passage in the Lookout Reservoir somewhere. And the thought was that the water out of Hills Creek created a thermal block and didn't allow the fish to go up into the tributaries to spawn a Lookout Reservoir. But that data that we had at that time was at the base of Hills Creek Dam, not further down. So USGS, I believe it was, ran some more test data, some more model data, and they discovered that the block, that's the other thing I've highlighted there, that the thermal block is upstream of the North Fork, Middle Fork, but it does block salt and salmon creeks. So there is some habitat that could be reached without temperature control at Hills Creek, but not all three of the reaches. So there is some validity to the thermal block concept as far as the data we know now. I don't believe that's in the 30% because we are already in the process of reviewing that. That's why I listed it here and talked it separate. So we'll have more detail on what isn't 30% here in a little bit. Any questions?
So this is new since the thing you sent out, is what you're saying, where the thermal block is?
Right. That is correct.
Okay. So I found it.
Can you send some of that information out to the people who are reviewing so that, you know, they're reviewing this current stuff?
Well, what you're reviewing is a 30% document. I don't know if we have anything. I don't know how that data shows up.
Yeah, the data that Jeff just spoke about is just hot off the press from the USGS modeling. We don't have anything written up quite yet. That would go into the 60%.
Right.
And Sean is going to go over the contents of the 30% in a little bit, but
okay.
We don't have anything written up for that, what Jeff just presented. That's why he just told you, because it's hot off the press from the USGS modeling.
Yeah. Trying to achieve the goal of keeping the Fish Passage team updated on what interesting things we find and what we're doing. So
I appreciate that. I'm just thinking if we're writing comments on something that's already...
Well, I don't think this necessarily contradicts what's in the 30%. It's just additional data that we now know.
Right. It's bonus information, Stephanie.
Sweet. Bonus.
Hey.
Thanks, Jeff. Minto. So, if you recall, the follow-on contract for this wasn't awarded because the bid we got from the contractor was
too high.
I think like 2.5 times the IGE, something like that. So I know that the PDT has been working with Willamette Valley staff and with ODFW staff to try to address as much of the follow-on work as they can to reduce the scope of any additional contracting that needs to take place. So I'll try to get an update from Chris for the December meeting on where we're at meeting that end of December goal for Mod 2. And what I was talking about was the bid on the Mod 3 work from Sladen was the one that was much higher than the IGE. Any other questions on Minto? Okay. So PFFC.
So can I ask a question?
Yes.
Before you leave Minto?
Yes.
The funding for this is coming from CRFM or from O&M?
I think it's almost entirely from CRFM.
Okay. But once the mod's complete, any follow-on maintenance work will be from O&M budgets.
Correct.
I believe typically what we do is until the facility is deemed complete.
Right. In service,
uh-huh. It's CRFM still, because right. That's what put it there.
Yep.
And then once, then it turns over to O&M.
Yep.
So PFFC is operational. We have seen a small increase in catch, but not what we were hoping for. But we haven't done any modifications. We were just hoping with the seasonal changes we'd get more fish. We have, but not a ton.
Since when? I was looking at that report that went through, it goes through September. Yeah. Is there anything from October?
It's pretty much just the one or two fish a day still.
Okay.
We do know that ODFW is catching a lot of fish in the screw traps downstream. Mm-hmm. So further indication that we need to address the issues with this follow-on work with the PFFC.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that those terrible screw traps collected more fish than the PFFC.
Thanks, Stephanie. Well, we actually started collecting fish before the screw traps did, which I thought was interesting. So long before the screw traps collected any fish, we started catching them in the forebay. So, anyways, they're hoping to award the follow-on contract here by the middle of next month and have the work complete by middle of February.
The work, the moving it?
Both the work on the mooring system and the trim and some small modifications to the porosity control.
They had their site visit last week and had quite a few contractors show up. So we're looking at a pretty good bidder pool.
Yeah, that was the good news is the thanks, Sean. There was a site visit last week for interested contractors to look at the vessel, and I think it was like 10 contractors showed up or something, and a lot of them are well known and pretty qualified, so we're hoping to get some good bids on this job. Any other questions or comments on the PFSC? Okay, so that takes care of the updates. Anyone need to take a quick break, or can we just dive right into Middle Fork temperature control and then maybe take a break after that?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Have the Middle Fork report.
I do.
Report. I'm going to focus mostly on chapters 5 and 6. And mostly the graphs. I'm not going to read everything, but I'll give you guys a brief overview of the stuff we're looking at.
So any guidance on what chapters you're looking for the most feedback on?
All of it.
All of it.
This is
okay.
The first time it's gone out.
Yeah.
So everything's new.
Well, so if we scroll through, okay. I guess I'll spend a little bit of time on the table of contents. You know, we do have some of the boilerplate and project information, you know, so purpose and scope, authorization, location, current project features. So we go into some pretty good detail about what the projects look like, how the pools are operated for Lookout Point, Dexter, and Hills Creek. So those are the first four. It gives really good background information of size and scale for folks who may not be very familiar with it. Operation restrictions, we talk about minimum and maximum gate openings for the spillways, the regulating outlets. We do have interim risk reduction measures in place at Lookout Point and Hills Creek. They don't necessarily impact how we're doing our work, and those are in plan for being repaired, but we're listing them now because it's something we currently at least have to acknowledge.
So those are just operational restrictions to avoid any like further damage to
so
the structure.
They need to be fixed eventually?
Yeah, I think there's a plan for these to be fixed right now. Mm-hmm. So until we cycle through all of them, we have to at least work around these IRRMs.
We couldn't get the money to fix all these spillway gates all at once, so they had to do a risk prioritization. These are still left there on the list.
So while we're talking just generally about the projects, Lookout Point has spillway turbines and regulating outlets with a different kind of valve than the other ones are. So if you hear them called Walker valves, it's a regulating outlet. We actively operate all those openings at Lookout Point. So Hills Creek, we have the spillway, regulating outlet and turbines. The spillway we only use for flood control. We have this little, I don't know if folks have gone out to Hills Creek, but the flow comes down the chute and it's on an unlined channel, and there's a cutoff trench between the unlined spillway channel and the powerhouse. Well, the flows actually have to ramp up to about 4,000 CFS before the before the water coming off the spillway goes into the cutoff channel, so the powerhouse gets a little bit wet. So every time you open, I guess that's a long way of saying, every time you open up the spillway, the powerhouse floods a little bit. So they really don't like to open up the spillway. So when this will play into when we start looking at operational temperature control at Hills Creek, unless we do something to keep us from flooding the powerhouse every time we open up the spillway, we're going to have some issues. And the Dexter is a re-rig project downstream of both, so spillway, turbines, and I don't believe we have any real operating restrictions at Dexter.
One turbine.
Those gates have already been repaired. Part of that whole risk concept is that if those broke, you flood out a whole lot of people, whereas the ones further upstream, you got something downstream that hopefully would catch that water.
Okay. Basin hydrology, right now we have a lot of lookout point basin hydrology in there. Our hydrology folks are spinning up real quick to get the Hills Creek hydrology in, so that'll be coming next, just to give you a feel for what type of flows we typically see at that project. Water quality, just the effects of temperature, dissolved gas, and algal blooms. And then we get into the problem statement. Kind of how the project's currently operated, the current temperatures in the project, some of our evaluation criteria, how we did the modeling, what we're basing it off of. Will we typically go back to a no dams concept? So the USGS models, we do include inflow temperatures from the upstream side. So they look at that, the influence of those inflow temperatures without the dams, to try to get a without dam temperature profile.
So above Hills Creek?
We have it above Hills Creek, we have it above Lookout Point, and they route it through the reaches, assuming they weren't there, and get the temperatures throughout the season. And then we look at the projects as they are now, and I'll go through the different models that we've looked at, but typically they look at without dams, they look at existing operations, they look at operational temperature control, they take things off, take power constraints off the table, so spill as much as you want, go through the regulating outlet as much as you want, just to see what kind of constraints we have. They don't really worry about flooding the powerhouse at Hills Creek, they just say, what can we do? So they run through those scenarios, and they start looking at some structural scenarios. So it plays out a lot like we did at Detroit, but we're looking at two pretty high head facilities at Hills Creek and Lookout Point. So they went a step further and looked at operational at Hills Creek only, operational at Lookout Point only, structural at Hills Creek, structural at Lookout, and structures at both. So we have a lot more combinations to look at in the system. We talk a little bit about the biological criterion considerations, target species, when they're migrating, the abundance, O&M issues, and then we get into the alternatives evaluation. You won't see much past six. You know, we're really trying to lay out what we can do and how we're going to look at the problem. Alternatives evaluation, I think, right now is just a statement, and since we haven't selected a plan, there's nothing from 8 on out. You see everything was on one page, which would be really good for a core report.
Yeah.
So now I'll jump straight to 5. And I'll go right to the graphs. So this is downstream of Hills Creek. And so these are... They spend a lot of time getting up to 30% working on what our appropriate temperature target should be. Before we looked at what the temperature targets should be, we kind of used Detroit as a baseline. So you can see here, the upstream mix is the red line. So what's coming into Hills Creek, you can see follows the temperature pretty well. But what we think might be a good temperature target, we show the rearing period, the migration period down below. And then you can see, this is just 2013, you can see this follows a typical trend for our high head projects where we get too cold through the spring, going into the summer, and then towards the end of summer and into fall, we get too warm. So
the thermal blockage you were talking about was for adult migration?
Adult migration, we used 11 degrees Celsius or 52 degrees Fahrenheit as a thermal blockage temperature. And so when we're looking at
For the fall.
For the fall.
For the fall, because it's too warm.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you're talking too cold, right?
Well, too cold.
Too cold. So, coming from Hills Creek, it's too cold.
Right, so this...
I thought the blue line was the observed.
The blue line is observed.
You want to be inside the box.
Right. Grit's got a lot of reminders.
It looks like it's too warm to me.
We'll scroll down. We'll get to... This is Hills Creek, and this is downstream of Dexter, which includes Lookout Point, Hills Creek, and Dexter. So this is a lot warmer. So what you would be seeing is if they're experiencing, you know, same time, say, 1st of July, if they're experiencing 58 degrees temperatures downstream of Dexter, then you put them upstream of Lookout Point, and it's 50 degrees. So it's a big temperature shift. You can see the upstream mix. We still get pretty hot. So this system will be different than Detroit. We know
that's affected by Hills Creek, right?
Well, this is upstream mixes. Natural. This would be, and this is only 2013 upstream mix.
Where is upstream mix taken?
They do it at the tributaries flowing into the reservoir.
Okay.
Yeah. But for Dexter, is that Lookout Point tail race or upstream of Lookout?
I believe this data is weighted upstream of each of the tributaries, so upstream of Lookout Point, upstream of Hills Creek, and then run through their temperature model.
Oh.
You know, so warming throughout the reaches as it comes down. Mm-hmm. So if the dams weren't there, based on the upstream mix, here's what the temperatures would most likely look like. Mm-hmm. And you can see the TMDL target there also.
So red is more analogous to historical?
Yeah, and that's based off of 2013 and the modeling that they've done.
Okay.
And then you can see at Dexter, here's the temperatures they really experienced. You know, it's a little bit warmer through the spring and the summer, and then it gets really a lot warmer going into the fall.
So you guys, everybody, I'm not taking detailed notes on Sean's presentation, so I'm just figuring if someone wants something captured in the notes to let me know.
So we started looking at our evaluation criteria. Maximum temperatures to protect varying and migration. Temperatures during the spawning time, so we're looking at an egg emergence timing. During incubation, and then you can read. I don't need to read it. And here's how we're measuring. We start talking about the water temperature model. The same CEQAL W2 model that we've used at Detroit. It discusses about the inputs. I want to scroll down. Sorry if this is making folks dizzy.
Everybody was expecting to have read all that as you went by.
Yes. Speed reading.
Yeah. I got it.
Sweet.
So this is a little bit more detailed of mean temperatures without project. So you see the historic.
So that historic has the project in it, right?
These are, looks like. Well, the blue is how we have operated.
Okay.
The green is based off of without dam.
What it would look like.
Yeah. And then of that, the North Fork is here.
And that's at Dexter. The green.
Downstream of Hills Creek.
Downstream of Hills Creek.
The title of the graph.
Okay.
So we have one there, and then we have the next one will be Dexter. But this follows the same. You can see that the upstream mix range follows what we typically like to see, and how we have been operating shows that we're too cold in the spring and summer, and then get too hot in the fall. So it follows the typical. And you can see here, if we're looking at 52 degrees, that's where we'd have a thermal block. Mm-hmm. Until we get to that point. Downstream of Dexter, kind of similar data. Green is based on the upstream mix without dams. Blue is how we've been operating. And then the way USGS evaluates the different temperature profiles we build, they build three water year types. You have a hot, dry, you have a cool, wet, and then you have a normal. And I believe this report talks about how they've pulled together pieces of the years to get their hot, dry, cool, wet, but that should give us the extremes that we're looking at. Let me start scrolling down a little bit further. Here's based off of the Detroit temperature targets and when things are there. This is a little bit redundant. The one thing you will notice, we have this blue line called operational target. Don't take that as the target that we're actually trying to achieve. What this is doing is telling the model, please put as much warm water out early as you can to save the cool water for later. So that's what it's telling the model to do. What we're really trying to do is shoot somewhere inside the target range.
The boxes.
Yeah. And so from the upstream mix, that's probably how close to normal we could get. And then the blue range is how we have been operating. This is downstream of Hills Creek. We'll see another one that's downstream of Dexter. Same story, a little bit further down the system. Then we'll start looking at the biweekly operating range. I like tables. Jump straight into the modeling results. There's a table here that talks about the different alternatives that we've included. Not all of them are in the report, but I believe all of them are in the appendix. We start with a no-blend scenario. So this is how we operate now. We have the lookout point spill only. We have a base operating. You can see all these that are existing. That's in structures, you know, so that's no added structure, so just be operational. They did take Hills Creek out, you know, so, okay, assume Hills Creek isn't a problem. You know, it could operate perfectly based on the upstream temperatures. What could we do at that lookout point? So you'll see some of those that say no dam. They started with turning before I jump to that, we looked at power minimums. You know, so I believe right now we have a 40% power minimum at our project. So they looked at what happens if we don't have a 40% power minimum. So I guess that's a way of looking at it, is the way we choose to operate right now going to get us the temperature control we need. Spoiler alert, even if we didn't have a power minimum, we still can't meet our temperature control.
You mean even at zero?
Even at zero. And so I'll just jump straight down to some of these results. These are kind of interesting graphs. We have three temperature profiles. So it's a hot, dry, a cool, wet, and a normal year. In the back, you have the without dam range. So that's probably the best we could do. And then the dashed line is the temperature metric, which is kind of the middle of those ranges. The middle of those square boxes. This tells you where we've landed. Before, the second graph is kind of interesting. It's all centered around zero, so what it's really looking at is the difference between our temperature year and trying to meet that line. So you can see here, you know, we're a lot cooler, you know, sometimes 10 degrees cooler Fahrenheit in the summer.
What's the x-axis, Sean? Is it month?
Should so be monthly.
By water year or from January?
Starting in January.
Okay.
I could zoom out just a little bit if you want to see it.
No, I see it. Just didn't know.
Yep. So I like these top two because they tell you what's going on. If you want to see what the operations were, you can scroll down, and this is the percent that's actually through a non-turbine
route.
So
you can't meet your target in the fall is what that's saying.
Yeah, you're too cold in the summer, and then you're too hot in the fall.
That's without temperature. That's just with changing operations.
Well, changing operations. So we have a series of these that we can go through. Let me scroll down a little bit. The next one's for lookout point Dexter. Similar story, not quite as bad.
Those aren't as bad.
Yeah, so what this was kind of telling us is, you know, we're not I mean, it's still cool here and it's still hot here. When you say not quite as bad, you know, you still have times when you're 10 degrees.
No.
You know, but in relative terms, it's not necessarily the swing that you see at Hills Creek.
Yeah, you accumulate thermal units pretty quick.
Right.
At those temps.
So this still has percent of spill. You know, there's times when we are generating. Keep scrolling. I lost my spot over here. We start looking at different, this is assuming we don't have any power production minimums. So this is Lookout Point and Dexter. So you can see this one's still, we're a little bit better in the spring and summer, but we're still warm in the winter. So that's telling us that operationally, because we're producing power, I guess look at it another way. If we didn't have a minimum power production, we still can't meet our temperature target.
You go down to the ops graph on this one?
Yep.
You have a question?
I think one thing to maybe point out, maybe I'm wrong, but I think I remember this. When we say percent spill in these graphs, that's not necessarily the spillway. That's
percent not going through the turbines.
Yeah, thank you. So it could be the RO. For instance, at Hills Creek, we can't use the spillway really, so it's through the RO.
So this is a good one. You can see through April through August, we would be putting everything through a non-powerhouse route, and we still can't evacuate enough of that warm water to keep from being too hot in the winter.
And you can see the RO spill in October, November, December. Right?
Yep, when you're still trying to access that warm water. We'll go to the next one. This is when we started looking at different structures. So we looked at a floating outlet and deep outlets at Hills Creek. So this would be drawing from the surface where the warmest water is and drawing from down below where the coolest water is, how close we could meet it. You see this gets a lot better. We still do have a warm blip in the fall. But I believe if we take this, the next one is... this is floating outlet at Lookout Point. So a similar discussion. This one is hotter temperatures basically throughout the entire year, which was a little bit different.
What's the pink line?
It's CY060_dex.
Which scenario is that? The hot dry?
I believe that's hot dry.
Consistently warmer.
Right. Go to the next one. So this is building two temperature control structures, one at Hills Creek, one at Lookout Point. So you can see we're still continually hot. So kind of what we inferred from that is, and this graph looks a lot like what was done at Lookout Point and Dexter, So basically, if you have the temperature control structure at Hills Creek, you get most of the benefits as building a temperature control structure at Hills Creek and Lookout Point. So then we started...
I mean, Lookout Point doesn't give you that much added value.
Right, because the water coming into it is already at a temperature, you know, that...
It's better, yeah.
Even drawing it from... Let's say it another way. You get more benefit from the temperature control at Hills Creek than you do it at Lookout Point. And you get, if you do combination of alternatives, Hills Creek and Lookout Point, the majority of the benefit comes from Hills Creek.
Okay. So, hypothetical question. Mm-hmm. What if we intentionally violated, not intentionally, but what if we focused our efforts on temperature improvements below Dexter and used whatever sort of temperatures we needed coming out of Hills Creek to meet those goals below Dexter? Did you guys look at something like that? So you don't necessarily strive to meet the targets below Hills Creek because you're trying to hit the targets better below Dexter. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and this was an interesting... I mean, that was the way Fenton filled me in. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but during the temperature target discussion, we had these conversations, you know, so where is the spawning habitat available? Are you really looking downstream of Dexter? Are you looking upstream of Lookout Point, you know, in the North Fork or the Middle Fork, which everybody agrees that's a pretty good place to be. But we started looking even further, you know. So if you trade a little bit for downstream of Dexter for the area downstream of Hills Creek, you could provide access to Salt and Salmon Creek downstream of Hills Creek. And so what we had been looking at were temperatures right at the base of Hills Creek. Uh-huh. And what we really wanted to look at was how does that warm up from the base of Hills Creek to the top of Lookout Point? And at what point would you stop that thermal block and actually provide access to Salt and Salmon Creek? The rationale being if you could get them into Salt and Salmon Creek, then they're up in the tributary and they're outside of the influence of Hills Creek, and you provide a lot more spawning habitat than just downstream of Dexter.
Okay.
Yeah, we just couldn't find a balance of providing temperature targets below Dexter and upstream. And then looking at the habitat availability, the group decided that it was best to focus upstream in those tributaries because there's prime habitat there.
But you might consider, too, if you can't have a good solution to downstream passage, what can we do to that reach below Dexter to at least have some production, right? So.
Yeah, but that's, I'd say, two steps away. You know, we have it.
Gotcha.
We're at the point now where we looked at it and we said, you know, we're probably not going to get the temperatures we want everywhere, even with two big structures, you know, so where can we optimize these temperatures for? So this is kind of the summary of where the 30% is. Can't get the temperatures everywhere, even if we build two big structures, you know, and this is taking fish passage aside. So during the temperature meeting, we looked and we said, you know, the temperatures below Dexter aren't all that bad during the spawning period. And if we did temperature control at Hills Creek, we can probably provide access to Salt and Salmon Creek and the North Fork of the Middle Fork, which is a lot of the spawning habitat there, with the exception of upstream of Hills Creek. So we're really focused with kind of made the determination we'd look at temperature control at Hills Creek. We'll start back at providing adult temperatures and spawning temperatures, and if that doesn't work, we'll probably narrow it down just to adult temperatures, and then we'll start looking at fish passage alternatives at Lookout Point.
Gotcha.
I think one of the things to note here is that we already have temperature control at Cougar. We're looking at it at Detroit, and we talked about it at Hills Creek. All three of those are similar elevations, much higher in the basin. Lookout Point and Dexter are much, much lower and provide yet a different challenge and difficulty to meeting these temperature targets that we don't have at those other locations, Cougar or Detroit specifically. And that's, I think, why it's more difficult to meet the Dexter targets. And therefore, we kind of pointed the team more towards that. Go up to the middle for Salt Salmon Creeks, up, you know, in those areas, and try to fix Hills Creek, and we're going to have to maybe live with what we got out of down lower.
Yeah. Just to look at the data in a slightly different way. I'm going to zoom out just a little bit. So we have graphs like this. So this is just downstream of Hills Creek Dam, and they're looking at the temperature difference between a no dam scenario and the alternatives we have. So you can see, you'd have to look through the table and see which combinations and alternatives actually mean. But this over here was without dams, here's what the temperature would be for each of these 2 week periods. And you look at the alternatives, so like the base condition in the middle of April, we're a little bit colder. Then we go to a lot colder, and then we get to a lot warmer. So you can see each alternative, how far we are from a no dam scenario.
Which one is no dam? Which column?
The far right column is the no dam. Mm-hmm. So you can see how each one of these approach the no dam alternative.
And the base is just current condition?
Current condition. That's current condition, and then if we don't have turbine operations, you can see how we could operate a little bit differently. So this is at the base of Hills Creek Dam. If we scroll down a little bit, you'll see a similar one, but this is at the base of Dexter Dam. Mm.
Awful lot of red.
A lot of red. Very little. This tells us there's very little cool water available, and there's a lot of warm water in the system. We talked about, we started looking at egg emergence timing for each of the operation well scenarios. I believe we have a did we do a historical? I'd have to look. I think we have historic in here. I can't pick it out specifically. But you can see how this egg emergence timing changes. You know, we go everywhere from 28 November into, like, Christmas. And so that's a pretty big change. That was a little bit worse at Hills Creek. The one thing we did notice, everything at the base of Hills Creek Dam tends to be pretty, pretty cold. And that's why we asked USGS to look a little bit more refined at this at the reach from downstream at Hills Creek to Lookout Point, because that does warm through there. And so if we only looked at the base of Hills Creek Dam, we would be kind of conservatively cold. So it does warm up as we move downstream.
When they looked at that to Lookout Point, it was to the head of reservoir Lookout Point, right?
Right.
Yes, has left the conference.
And so that warm water carries through even if you have a drawdown, an operational drawdown, like at Lookout Point?
I'd have to see.
Seems like it would flow through there. It wouldn't warm up.
If we draw down Lookout?
Yeah.
Well, the most extreme drawdown were the no dam alternatives.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's back to run a river without a dam nor reservoir. So everything else would just approximate that.
Yeah, I don't think the ground one would just take an outlook of. Mm-hmm.
So did you guys, ground truth, your emergent states under the baseline with the ODFW screw trap data to see how they're lining up?
Yeah,
have to look.
It will be.
Yeah,
I wonder
I'm hoping this is chapter 7.
I don't know how you'd capture it, because there's really no way to measure it, but the other thing to consider, too, with these temperature issues is, you know, not only are these fish emerging very early, because we run so cold in the early spring and summer, the primary productivity for that reach starts off much later, too. So they kind of get a double whammy against them.
Chapter 7 is really probably the most concise description of where we're at right now. So my recommendation would be look at chapters 5, look at chapter 6, and then see what we've stated in chapter 7, kind of our path forward. The things we're looking at right now, how we're going to work through them and where we're looking through them is lined out here in chapter 7. So that's the path we're starting down now, and we have looked a little bit about how that temperature warms downstream at Hills Creek, when we provide access into Salt and Salmon Creek, and we're trying to find a way to get, say, a metric for how we might delay those fish or when those tributaries would be available compared to when we would make them available. So we're working on that right now. And as we get something that we're comfortable with, we'll share that with you guys too.
But where's the discussion about fish passage alternatives?
We haven't discussed fish passage alternatives yet.
Okay. Is there any? I mean, I kind of scanned through this before, and I didn't really see anything. Is there a placeholder in here that says that's going to be when you get to the 60% or the 90% or something?
Yeah, that was that one page.
Yeah, I think our placeholder is
right
kind of these lines right here. So, following the temperature target discussion, it would be assumed that juvenile passage alternatives will be explored at Lookout Point. So that's the other half of what we're looking at right now is how do we provide fish passage at Lookout Point. So we're just starting that analysis.
And to add to what Sean said, Stephanie, and others, the way we approach this, because we have so many different factors to consider with the Middle Fork, We figured we start with the temperature modeling and get USGS doing these modelings for us. Then we use that as a guide to look at the fish passage. We didn't want to try to do too many things all at the same time. And so this 30% report mainly talks about the temperature control. It gives a background, so we urge you guys to read, if you have time, read the report if you don't have a good idea of the middle four, because it gives a solid background. But then when we start getting into the meat and potatoes, it's kind of focusing on temperature for now, and then we're going to move, we're going to start working on fish passage. So expect more information in the next report. Well, or like Sean says, we'll update you at FPT as we move along.
Well, the other thing about fish passage, remember, I don't even want to put a date on it, 2000, maybe 2010, we did the head of reservoir, lookout point head of reservoir. And we looked at an in-tributary, off-channel, in the North Fork, Middle Fork. Well, if we're looking at providing a temperature control option at Hills Creek that provides juvenile passage or provides spawning habitat downstream of Hills Creek, well, that fish collector won't work very well for those fish. So that may make that one less desirable. Or we'd have to look at the in-tributary one that would actually collect both of those fish. The other thing is if we aren't seeing much benefit to temperature control at lookout point, the fish passage alternatives probably aren't going to incorporate temperature control or any gravity driven. So we're most likely going to be looking at floating surface collectors with nets in different areas in the reservoir. So, but those are the things we're lining out right now. What makes sense? What do we need to include from the head of reservoir report? How we can compare the two and start laying those out.
Yeah, and at some point, too, Fenton, we've discussed internally as well, we need to sort of look at the RM&E needs here, too, so that we're staying out in front of that. Because they keep the lookout studies, Stephanie, they keep getting cut because of the budget. So,
well, I guess going
that and the difficulty in obtaining the information we need with the current methods. So,
as I said, going down that path, originally we did the lookout point at a reservoir study. It was because the lookout point pool was assumed to be just a horrible place and filled with predators. I think we have some, I don't want to say anecdotal, but we have some indication that that may not be the case, but we really haven't nailed that down yet. So that's some things that we do have concerns about. If you are doing all your juvenile collection at lookout point, you still have to survive that reservoir. And is that a good thing or not? Right. Or are the mortalities happening in the Dexter pool? So,
yeah, we definitely have holes in our data that we need to fill. So,
yeah, I thought we were going to test a drawdown next summer or a minimum pool thing. And not next summer, the summer after.
Yeah, 16, and we're still working. We're still working on it, and we're hoping to do an RME study. But that would be 16, not 15.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so some of the questions we have, just talking about in internal discussions, we haven't really established a baseline. So if we do a drawdown and we push a bunch more predators down to the Dexter pool, and then after the fact we go in and try to establish a baseline, is it really reflective, or is it reflective of what we did after this operation? So I'm not saying that's a bad thing, and I understand we're constrained on money, but it's something we should be aware of going into it.
Mm-hmm. We should have baseline information before you change anything.
Right? You would hope so.
I hope so, and that's what we were trying to do. We don't have the money.
So that's really what we have for the Middle Fork right now. The report's out there. Appreciate you guys looking at it, providing comments.
So yeah, I have a question. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
How much habitat is there above Hills Creek compared to what's in, Salmon Creeks, which is in the lookout pool, and the North Fork, Middle Fork? I mean, is it like 50-50, or is it heavily weighted above Hills Creek? I don't know. Maybe Stephanie knows.
There's more in the North Fork than Middle Fork. I don't have the numbers. I don't know.
Okay.
Got it,
there's also, and I don't remember the numbers offhand, but there's quite a bit of habitat in the salt and salmon. And I remember when we had our temperature little workshop, somebody saying, if you combine salt and salmon, the habitat there is equal or more than North Fork, Middle Fork. So if you have all three of those working, then we've got quite a bit of habitat.
I want to say it's 40% that's blocked by Hills Creek, though. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's in that magnitude.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And we've seen really high production from hatchery outplants in that reach.
Which reach?
Above Hills Creek, sorry.
Well, above Hills Creek.
So this is another thing, you know, we do. We provide our results to the COP. The COP looks at it, how much habitat do we need access to,
right,
and go like that. So from the COP perspective, they could come back and say, you need to provide access to more. You know, that's not going to do it.
What we were looking at so far is temperature control, and it doesn't matter for the reach above Hills Creek because there is no other dam up there that's changing the temperature. So from a temperature standpoint, it was, where does it make sense to do something?
Mm-hmm.
And then once we figure out what we can and can't do there, then like we're saying, we can then figure out where do we want to put the fish, which is sort of what we've been looking at so far with tying the two together. So that was really cool to have that. Oh, we got to do the temperature at Hills Creek. If we did anything, we do the temperature at Hills Creek, mm-hmm, and then collect them in the Lookout Reservoir somewhere to get them down. But that doesn't mean that there couldn't also be fish up above Hills Creek, yeah, with what we're at right now.
Why couldn't you collect them at the mouth of the tributaries?
Sure.
As they come out.
All it takes is money, Jim.
Yeah. That was one of the alternatives in that report you said from 2010-ish.
They right. Keep them out of the reservoir.
So you can't look at that.
Yeah, that was for Lookout Point. It wasn't for Hills Creek.
It's for Lookout Point. So then you look from one collector, you know, in the North Fork to the Middle Fork, to one on the North Fork, Middle Fork, one on the Salt, one on the Salmon. Yeah. The other thing, if we did have fish passage upstream of Hills Creek, we'd most likely, I mean, we can't distinguish at Dexter where these fish want to go. So we had to let them go in Lookout Pool, then you'd have to have another adult collector at Hills Creek so you can get them upstream at Hills Creek, and then I'd assume you'd need a juvenile collector downstream. So it ends up being a lot.
Left the conference.
Well,
it ended up being a lot of infrastructure, not that that's...
So even if you collected all the adults as they come up to Dexter, you don't know where they're going,
right.
Whether they want to go all the way up above or whether they want to go into the North Fork.
But if you can't crack the Lookout downstream passage nut,
yeah,
then right. You could abandon that and just put everything above Hills Creek and just collect them in Hills Creek, right?
You could, but then you're missing out on all the
prime.
Anyway, so that's, we haven't made decisions,
it's
but those are the
one.
Things that we're,
yeah, right.
We're laying out and
interesting.
Looking at right
it's
now.
A challenge.
It is. Yeah.
It's a challenging PET.
Yeah.
So let me go over what I captured in the notes for this discussion before we take our break real quick. So I just had today's presentation focused on...
A participant has joined the conference.
...on the results from Chapters 5 and 6, and the PDT is recommending that you guys look at the introductory materials, Chapters 5 and 6, and then see what's stated in Chapter 7. NIMS asked about the discussion of downstream passage, and the Corps indicated that they're just starting to look at this, taking into account the temperature results. Anything else you guys want me to capture in here? Anybody on the phone?
How long is the review open?
That's what we were just talking about.
We think it was in Fenton's email when the comments were due, but we don't remember.
I think it was December 18th.
You're after comments then on these temperature alternatives.
It was the 19th.
And not on fish passage at this point.
Yeah, it's temperature alternatives, and it does, I mean, there was a lot of work that went into the temperature targets that were selected. And it kind of leads us down a path. So,
yeah. So we're just as a friendly reminder. Since Sean gave this little presentation on the report, we ask for comments by December 19th. We'd appreciate that before the holidays, please.
So you know, work on them over the holiday.
Well, I can read it on the plane.
Awesome.
Oh wait, I leave on the 19th.
Wait a minute, on the 18th, you have reading material.
I need reading material for my plane ride to the East Coast.
Great. Well, why don't we take a 5-minute break? So we'll get underway here at 10:35. I'm going to go ahead and mute the phone. So those of you in the room here, the bathroom key is at the desk if you need the restroom.
Yeah.
I guess that's just you, Jim.
We can follow those guys.
Yep.